Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another Friday night's edition of Let's Talk at Work. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, we're going to ask you to please click, tag, and share. Tell someone Let's Talk at Work is on the air. And we're about to talk about Chesapeake Energy and what they left owing the city of Fort Worth, or the residents, I guess I should say, of the city of Fort Worth. This has been a real strange week, and a lot of discovery has come forth in this week. We found out that, 13,000 residents here in Fort Worth with over 400 lawsuits filed against Chesapeake won $52.5 million in 2016. We also know that the city of Fort Worth filed on behalf of the city of Fort Worth for unpaid royalties, just like the 13,000, and they received a $15 million settlement. And I think after they finished paying attorney fees, it came out to about $6 million. Well, the problem with that is, who is going to pay the rest of us? Because it stands to reason if Chesapeake was forced to pay 13,000 residents for unpaid royalties and also had to pay the city of Fort Worth for unpaid royalties, then it stands to reason that they owe the rest of us for unpaid royalties as well. So that's what we're talking about tonight. When's the last time you got a check? I had to call, and I got a terrible runaround today trying to find out if I had checks somewhere, because I haven't seen the check probably since about 2015. That said, I did find out that I had a $200 check that they had sent to the state, and I understand there's another check that I could not find out what the amount was, but I was told it was not very much. So since about 2015, I'm going to say, I know that I've made less than $200 in royalty payments. So now we have another $200 at the state. So now we're at about $400, maybe. And whatever the chump change is that they are holding at TMP Barnett. But is that fair? Is it fair that 13,000 residents got to split $52.5 million and the rest of us have less than $400 in payments since we signed leases with them? I say no. Let me open the phone lines up this evening. Y'all, I'm so mad. I'm just like, I don't know. Good evening, Adrian. Good evening, Thomas. How are you all?
Hey, Carrie. Good evening.
Hello, Carrie and Adrian. I'm doing great.
You know, I mean, seriously, normally I write out a script, and I'm very scripted when I talk about these subjects, because most of the time I don't connect directly to the subject matter. So I'm just, as Dick Gregory told me on those stories, I'm just the storyteller. But when you look at this situation with Chesapeake, this directly affects my household. So Thomas, it just seems like to me that the city did us wrong. Would you agree that the city owes us for not having our back when we were forced into this agreement? It wasn't like we walked up to Chesapeake or Chesapeake walked up to us and we came up to, you know, some mutual agreement on how we were going to do this, and we shook hands and say, okay, great, I like what you said and you like what I said. This was a forced agreement. If either you signed or you didn't get anything, but they were going to drill anyway. Is that not right?
Yeah, it's a real mixed bag depending on the part of town. Sometimes neighborhoods negotiated collectively. Some of the other communities around Fort Worth made their own deals or didn't make any deals at all. And, you know, what's sad is this is a cycle that's happened in Texas. Every time there's a boom and bust cycle with oil or gas or both, there are winners and losers. And so the people that have been in the game a long time, they may change their name to Chesapeake or Atlantic Richfield, and there'll be other companies based in Fort Worth that have moved on and taken advantage for 100 plus years, right? So one of the strategies is to make a big enough splash and make lease deals with enough people. So I don't know what the percentage is by state law, but sometimes it's only like 15%. So they could go in your neighborhood and cherry pick enough of your neighbors to sign on one by one, or get neighborhood associations or something until they get to 15%. And then the rest of the people are either out in the cold or along for the ride at whatever the negotiated deal is. And it's real complicated based on how Fort Worth grew. I mean, I wish we had someone on the show that was a land man or land woman. These are the people that sell leases or negotiate leases on behalf of oil companies when they're starting in a field. So what oil and gas companies do is they do the bare minimum, like lots of people these days. They may break the rules and then apologize afterwards. That's what's happening now with the settlements. And meanwhile, you know, if you're not savvy enough as an individual property owner and you're not aware whether you have mineral rights or half your mineral rights, you could be left out in the cold. And so, unfortunately, it sounds like the city, it's every man for themselves. So the city protected their interests after the fact, and some people participated. There were apparently 400 people on a lawsuit.
Yep.
As a, like a class action. Yeah. And then, and actually 13,000 probably households that are impacted. So this is, I don't know. Every agreement's different, but generally, if a court, like a federal court, blesses this deal, and you're not in the protected group or class, you may not get any money.
Well, see, the problem with this is, first of all, again, we were forced into the agreement. It wasn't like we went into it saying, okay, I love this. I talked to one of the people that they had signing people up for leases. When they initially came out, they started in stop six. And at that time, they were giving people $300 sign-on bonuses. And there were preachers in stop six telling people to come get this money from God, that God was blessing them with this money and come sign up. So people were heavily influenced by people that they respected highly in the community, the local preachers. And so $300 didn't seem right. And so I said, I'm not going to sign for $300. By the time they came back to my house the next time, they said, and I don't live in the stop six community, by the way. So they came, by the time they came to my house again, they said $1,500 for a sign-on bonus. Well, I thought I was so savvy at that point. I'm thinking I got five times more than they gave the people in stop six. So I signed on for $1,500. And from that time until now, I literally have only gotten in my hand less than $200 in royalty payments. You cannot tell me that's fair. And it's not fair to know that the city of Fort Worth sued these people knowing that they had not been paid fairly for their royalties. However, they failed to protect us. So that's not right, because I understand. Let me tell you the wording that Fort Worth used in their lawsuit. I mean, which is scary, because to me it says they absolutely knew that they had been beat. Okay, this is what it says. In 2006, the city of Fort Worth reached a settlement with Chesapeake Energy over a lawsuit that claimed Chesapeake underpaid royalties for natural gas drilled on city land. So that means the city absolutely knew that they were underpaying people and went and sued them to secure theirs, but they did nothing to secure the royalties for the rest of the citizens. That's wrong. I mean, I'm sorry, the city should be sued, because the city forced us into this agreement with Chesapeake. We didn't go in there willfully. We were forced into it. And now that we're in it, they did not protect us. The city even went so far as to renegotiate their contract with Chesapeake. Why weren't we, the citizens of the city of Fort Worth, also given the right to renegotiate our contracts with Chesapeake if we knew that they had done us wrong? That part.
Well, I think that you got to remember that, I mean, it's impossible you can make the same argument that the county didn't protect property owners either, since that's the taxing entity. In other words, if you, the individual homeowners or property owners would have to be allied with the 800-pound gorilla, which is the big government, right? And so the city of Fort Worth only looked after its own interests on this particular dispute, which technically means the taxpayers, but it's not like your household gets a check based on their effort. And the problem here is that the real bully is the Johnson Oil Company when it's an oil company. And they know that no household, even if you own 2 acres in a house in Fort Worth or Tarrant County, that you can't fight them like a group of 400 homeowners can. Same thing, you can't fight them like the city or the county can. Because what we're not hearing is that the other big cities, say Arlington or, you know, Hearst, Euless, Bedford, some of those cities are probably in the midst of settling on money too, especially communities in the southern half of the county or western part of the county.
Well, let me be clear. These are new lawsuits. The city of Fort Worth began their suit against Chesapeake in 2013. They settled in 2016. So they've known since 2013 that Chesapeake was screwing over the citizens of Fort Worth as well as the city of Fort Worth, and they didn't do a thing about it to tell the citizens of Fort Worth, go and lawyer up. I'm going to give you an example. When Katrina hit and all those people from New Orleans were shipped to Houston, the crime rate skyrocketed. And the mayor was catching hell about the crime rate. And the people were saying, you got to do something. You got to do something to protect us. And the mayor said, everybody meet me at City Hall tonight. When they got there, you know what he said? Everybody get a gun. He told them to get a gun because he was saying, listen, this is what you're going to need to do to protect yourself. Now, would that be the advice I give somebody? Absolutely not. But my point is this. He was saying, listen, protect yourself. The city didn't do that for us. When they knew Chesapeake was raping us, they didn't do anything. They left us out there to continue to be raped by this big giant. Now, here comes the clincher. Most of the people I know thought that this was over because we haven't heard from Chesapeake in I don't know when. Well, I called the city this week to find out. When they were drilling at hundreds of sites. The city says 150 sites. Other news reports say different. They say hundreds. Well, that said, they currently have 667 wells still open. So that said, your lease is still active until the wells are no longer active. So how unfair is it to us that the city has allowed them to do this and is continuing to allow them to do this because the wells are still active, and that's part of the agreement. As long as the wells are active, then you can't do anything about getting out of your lease. I'm sorry, that's a breach of contract on my part.
I wanted this kind of come in. I was thinking about the statement regarding the bully, you know, I know they seem like they big, you know, they're big, like a big bully, but you know, even bullies get bullied. Bullies one day meet their match. Now, as far as the city is concerned, like you stated, I feel like it was like they normally do. They just sign off on everything. They sign off on everything without even considering, you know, the ramifications of what's to happen down the line. And like you say, this company operate like it operates. It operate like it normally operates. They only look for one thing, to make a profit. Like you said, at the expense of everybody. As far as these lawsuits are concerned, I think what goes for one area should go for everybody in that area. If the agreement was XYZ amount for this person, for this area, everybody should be on, you know, if it's a particular area, you know. If you can negotiate more, go for it, you know, but everybody should be on the same playing field. Now, with this lawsuit, like you said, how is it that only a handful of people was able to even catch wind of this lawsuit? How many more people, like you say, didn't know what was going on until this lawsuit, now that this lawsuit is there, how many more people are like you, Carrie, saying like, you know what? Well, what happened to this? This been going on for years. I know we signed off back in XYZ, but they, like you said, they still are operating. They still, the locations are still operating and up and functioning. They've opened, you know, they found more locations. So question is, how did this lawsuit fly under the radar? And the city does owe responsibility to this, because you can't do business in a city without people signing off on it. You just can't come up and set up shop without people signing off on it. And we know who the individuals who signed off on it. And it might not be this council that signed off on it, but a couple of the members that's still there, they were a part of the original agreement. So, yeah, this falls on this current council.
The bus going to have to stop with this council. Bus going to have to stop with this council, though. Because, but listen to this. To add insult to injury, in June of 2020, Chesapeake filed bankruptcy. They filed bankruptcy. I mean, in 2020, alleging that due to the drop in oil and gas prices amid the coronavirus pandemic. So there it is. So all of a sudden, they can wipe out. The bankruptcy allows them to wipe out $7 billion in debt through restructuring. Okay, well, guess what? Gas prices are up now. Okay? And guess what? Say what?
Yeah, and they created a new sub-entity, or maybe more than one, to shove the responsibility for the settlement on. In other words, the original mother company might have filed bankruptcy, but what did you call it? Like the Texas and Pacific something is a holding company?
Like a shell
for
company.
The gas?
Like, you, like you said, kind of like starting up a shell company, starting other entities, like still operating still operating for the mother load. They just under a different name. Basically, where people who not, like you say, real knowledgeable how big companies operate, they just think they went out of business, they filed bankruptcy, they can't do nothing. Most companies do that. Most companies do that. That's how they hide the assets. That's how they protect the assets or able to continue to deal with bankruptcy or whatever debtors they're dealing with while still making money. Still making money, but dealing with the debtors and whatever on the other side, you know.
But see, we got to be smart. I'm going to tell you why we got to be smart. The report for 2020 in the first quarter, their net cash provided by operating activities was $853 million, delivered $532 million in adjusted free cash flow, the highest quarterly amount in the company's history. That's this quarter, this first quarter of this year. So I say this city owes us to go back and renegotiate every lease that we're still in, because there's no reason that we should be receiving what we're receiving and they're getting net profit and had a chance to file bankruptcy and restructure everything. Barnett Shell. They were under Barnett Shell. Something's got to give. I mean, something has got to give. This is just wrong. I mean, and I'm going to go with what it says about a breach of contract, y'all. A breach of contract is the act of breaking the terms set out in the contract. When one party in a binding agreement fails to deliver according to the terms of the agreement, that's what happened. That's what happened. And so in terms of do they owe us? Absolutely they owe us. The city knows they owe us, and the city is supposed to go back and fix this, because the city did not give us an option whether or not we were going to allow them to drill on our property. I was told by one of the landmen, this is what happened. Either you agree or we're going to do it anyway. He said, we drill down 100 feet, and then we go across everybody's property. So you won't even know that we did it when we do it. So it's kind of like get something or you get nothing, but we're going to get the oil or the gas or get the gas anyway. That's how evil this contract was. So you couldn't win.
How
were we supposed to win?
This is the gigantic, biggest entity that's private, as opposed to the little guy, and in Fort Worth, that's 990,000 little guys, right? And so the railroads did this 150 years ago when they bought right-of-ways right through people's property. They're like, either you take the money, but we have the right to come right through your property whether you take the money or not.
Wow.
And so it might have been a dollar a mile, or which was a lot maybe in 1850 or whatever. And so 1870 or whenever that kind of time frame was in Texas, for example. And so huge corporations have been using this style of having field agents, whether it's oil and gas or railroad or some other type of things, right of ways for power lines. It's take or pay. Either you take the deal that we're offering you, maybe we'll come back with a little bit sweeter deal, or you're going to pay by not getting in on the good. We're still going to cut right through your property. And the thing about this is that the gas company strategy all along was to sit on money, knowing that the longer that the lawsuit got dragged out, they would end up settling for a fixed amount of money that they could budget for. Now that we know the reason why they're settling right now, Adrian, because I can hear the light came on. The reason why they're willing to settle right now is what Kerry described, is they're having a record quarter. So if their record quarter is 500 and something million and they're making a 50 something million dollar settlement, you know, then they move down the road in the next quarter. They're hoping they're going to have some more home run quarters.
Let me be clear. These two were already settled in 2016. I'm just wondering why nobody that I know heard anything about it. This has already been settled. My point is new lawsuits should take place because Chesapeake is having a record quarter. I mean, you know, they've already filed bankruptcy, so they wiped out a whole lot of debt and was able to restructure. And now they're talking about they're having record numbers. And so I say for all of us who didn't get paid the first time, stop and get paid now. And I think the city needs to get behind us. And I think the ultimatum should be this. Either Chesapeake and TNP Barnett do the right thing, or we close up them 667 wells that they got in this city. But you're not going to tell me that they get to continue to do what they're doing with the wells open, meaning that the leases have to still be active. However, they're breaching their end of the contract, but we don't have any option on this end. That's not right.
Claire, like you said, the city, so the city's law firm got $5 million. Where did the other $10 million be siphoned off to? Because go ahead, Thomas.
The city gets their check. And remember, it's a new council. 2015, it was maybe a notably different council except for Gina Bivens. And when you look at it this way, you realize this actually goes, when you say why wasn't the city, you know, like the moral high ground or doing the right thing or the professional ethical thing, there's two reasons. An assistant city manager that's managing the outside law firm may be the same person who interacts with corporate relocates and all those sort of things. And so it's like suing your brother-in-law. In other words, you know that they owe you money, but you're going to keep it under the radar because, remember, Chesapeake moved out of Fort Worth. They were a huge corporate employer. They may have left some of their employees behind, but also remember the city keeps it quiet, the city manager and the staff, because they don't care about the homeowners and as much as they care about climbing the organizational ladder and keeping the current city council happy. If that means keeping the current city council in the dark for two or three sets of cycles, that they're cool with that too. And remember, isn't the city hall the building that Chesapeake owned, the new city hall? Or is it
Pier 1 owned it? That was Pier 1. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. But there's a whole lot of deal making behind the scenes as Chesapeake physically exited the city. And so, remember, they relocated. They went to Houston. This is the third oil and gas company who's done this. I mean, y'all may not know that, but over about a 30-year period, one of the largest employers downtown was two other companies that moved to Houston. One merged with Mobil and one merged with Atlantic Richfield. So the city staff and the key other business people, the Bass Brothers or whatever, they don't care about the interests of the little guy because they look at the macro picture, like how much that corporate resident impacted the economy while they were here. And, you know, even though Carrie doesn't want to tie the two things together, think about all the people, Carrie, you and I have talked about that used to work at Chesapeake or had a time at Chesapeake. Their
who used to work at Chesapeake?
Well, Tanya Beasy, Mark Beasy's wife, worked in PR at Chesapeake. In addition, Leah King, the current board president at Kent Riesel Water District, worked at Chesapeake. And what they do, like any corporate, you know, giant does, is they find people, they'll hire a whole slew of marketing PR people, and they'll make them specialists in particular targeted communities. So in other words, they'll have, you know, there'll be 12 of them, and maybe one of them is, you know, got contacts in one part of town and one in another part of town, or their ethnicity is what's their, you know, best foot forward. And they understand the game. I mean, if they're for sale, you know, over on Hempville, they say no se vende, which means I'm not for sale. And the truth is these people are usually politicians, and it's not so much about party politics or right or wrong or policy. They know what the game is, and their game is to show up in a community at a community center or at a town hall meeting or whatever you want to call it, and convince the people to make a deal in groups or clusters, because they're, besides landmen, their job is to get 15% of the neighborhood
to sign on to it leases. And so that's part of what happened.
So you're saying as long as 15% signs on, they have the right to drill?
Yeah, and in certain zones, there's some geography to it, yeah. In other words, when my mother was alive back then and she owned a house in Benbrook, they tried to get the whole Benbrook community, more than 15%, but like 80% of them, to agree to a fixed price for the royalty down payment and a rate so that, it was collective effort. It wasn't a bad strategy, but by the way, it didn't work. It fell apart. And of course, the gas companies drilled anyway, and very few homeowners got their share of mineral rights. So this is a every man for himself thing.
So
what I'm telling you.
So Thomas, so you say even with the community being against whatever was taken, they weren't in agreement with the agreement that was presented to them, they still were able to go ahead and do what they wanted to do. And is that because the city had already signed? Is that because the city signed off on it?
No. The landmen go around like carry experience, and they make an offer, and then they come back with a little bit higher offer. It may be facts or zones. There's some kind of a map to it. But once they condemn it, maybe it's the zone that a particular drill pad will reach, like all the households within reach of this set of drill, these set of wells. But as soon as they can file at the courthouse that they've secured a percentage of the required under law, then they can start sucking the gas out of the ground.
Go back to the lawmakers too. I'm glad you brought that up, because we know lawmakers get paid to look the other way. That's what the lobby is for. Most politicians are in corporations' pockets, so they send the goons up there to lollygag, shoot the breeze, and they just throw numbers at them. Hey, we just need you to sign off, look the other way. Most politicians look the other way. What'd you say, Thomas?
It's actually worse than that, because they left enough of their former executives and marketing people behind, and they're now our leadership in some of the slots. And the thing that you don't know, because it's Texas, is you don't know how many of those $200,000 a year assistant city managers or former city managers or current city managers, et cetera, don't have stock in Chesapeake.
True.
Right. So whether it's Leah King or whether it's somebody else that's in a position of power or authority, and remember, Tarrant Regional Water District has a crap load of oil and gas wells in 7 counties. And so, there's mixed loyalty there, whether they're an elected official or not. I mean, when you start checking donor lists for current city council or recent city council, it may be exactly the same game. You'll find that some of the people have donors that are Chesapeake or contractors for Chesapeake.
And that's probably true. Let me say this. Chesapeake, by the way, is the second largest producer of natural gas and the 11th largest producer of oil and natural gas liquids and the most active driller of onshore wells in the U.S. So we're talking about a giant. So the city lets this big giant come into the city, start in the lower income areas of the city where people are not lawyered up, and you go in there first, you offer $300 for sign-on bonuses. Now, once we get a leaflet in the mail from the city saying, listen, we got some folks coming to town and they're going to do X, Y, Z. You need to do this, that, or the other. We didn't get that option. They could have put it in the water bill and said, hey, you didn't read, so therefore you're on your own. But we didn't even get that. And what I found out, this is what the city said in their lawsuit against Chesapeake. The city says that it should have received royalties of 25 to 27.5% of the proceeds of the natural gas sold, or the same percentage of its market value, whichever was higher. But the lawsuit claims that Chesapeake and its assignees deducted costs of production, transportation, and other expenses despite their being forbidden to do so in the original contract. So, did nobody tell us that we have the right to file a suit and say this? how did the city protect us? They didn't. They didn't.
No, that's because you get down to the human level and too many of the humans are benefiting by you being in the dark. That's my point is, you know, that, I mean, it's once you get in there and you're in the leadership position, whether you're a career employee at the higher level of income, it's real easy to get, you know, insider information or, you know, stock opportunities, et cetera. So they're making just as much money whether they own a piece of real estate and they got royalties coming out from under it, or if they get to be on the bandwagon by owning stock interests or otherwise. Or they took a turn working for the company long enough to get bonuses and incentives to convince poor small homeowners to sell, you know, cheap.
That part. Y'all, it says in 2013, the city filed suit over Chesapeake's compliance with oil and gas leases underlying corporation properties, specifically addressing calculations of royalty payments made to the city. So way back in 2013, this was on the table.
So
what I'm going to go back and do, City of Fort Worth, I want to know what vote took place on this. Because that means every single council person on the dais at that time knew that this was an issue, and you all decided to sue Chesapeake because you felt like they weren't doing right by the city. Well, what about the people that they were representing at the time?
Well,
I don't get
remember
it.
That. Remember that as soon as it's legal or litigation related, the city staff and the city lawyers or the outside lawyers convince the council, yes, you have to go back out there in public and vote on this, but you can't discuss this. In other words, that's the bad part about the executive session. There are specific things that are exempt from disclosure that take place inside executive session, and that includes settlements, disputes, HR matters, and contracts like this, the nitty-gritty of the terms, especially if Chesapeake says, okay, we'll give you the $15 million or whatever it is, but you have to sign this non-disclosure about the terms of our agreement, and you can't share it with your taxpayers or the public in general or any other entities.
Yeah.
So that's
the problem. I was thinking that goes back to what I've been kind of raising the stink about council members being appointed to various boards throughout the city, you know. They always appointed to some type of board, you know. And we know that. I think that's just another way to make up for money that they think they might be missing because they're sitting on the city council, you know. So they're appointed to all these boards. You know, you know you're not just sitting on the board just to be sitting on the board. Anybody who sits on the board is getting something, even if it's a nonprofit. People who sit on boards, they get some type of incentive for sitting on the board. Now, sitting on the board, I say, it's cause for people looking the other way. It's like we give you something, so you just kind of just go along with the ship and stay. You just stay on the ship and don't worry about nothing, and everything else take care of yourself.
Where it's insider information. You got information on land changes or who's buying or selling or pollution issues. I mean, that's, you know, when you talk about, I mean, just that barren, right now barren Panther Island, if you look at a bird's eye view, there's about 11 wells. Well, not 11 wells, there's about 11 gas, and it's all gas, but there's sites on the island and around it. But TRW gets 100% of those mineral rights. So, they're big enough that they could sue, but the truth is it's just easier for people to, you know, scratch each other's back and not let the public know. And that's what I keep saying.
I would be real quick. Carrie, you said something. It's like the city had somebody looking out for their interests, but it's like they didn't consider, like you say, the everybody else. I guess they figured, well, y'all agreed to it. You know, y'all signed off on it. Y'all getting something. But like you said you haven't received a royalty. Even if it was $10, you said you haven't seen nada. You ain't seen a penny. So like you say, the agreement is, it's flawed. It's broken. It's amiss. But like you said, the city was able to cover themselves. They had somebody apparently that was knowledgeable enough to keep up with what was going on to hold in the task. And like you said, every time Chesapeake, okay, well, they're raising the stink. We gotta squash it before it gets you know, it's like the it was smoking, and they was able to smother the smoke before it caught fire. You know what I'm saying? It's like before you caught fire, sometimes it's just simmering. It was simmering. They was able to put water on it and stop it before it caught other people's attention. So that's yeah.
But you know
Remember.
What? Let's say it like this. If it was an employer, okay, and an employer was telling you, this is your 401k plan, we're going to put this in, we're going to put that in, they're not going to tell you to just go sign the paperwork without somebody coming before you to explain it. I mean, you might get screwed in the end, but at the beginning, somebody lied to you and told you what you were supposed to get. Nobody from the city ever told the citizens of Fort Worth what to expect, how to negotiate, what to look for, nothing. And then, again, we were not even given an option. If we decided to opt out, we still were going to be involved because they still had the right to drill regardless. So who do we hold responsible? Is it our city council? Is it our city manager? Is it the mayor? Is it our congressperson? Who do we hold responsible?
Here's I'm going to tell you this, and you probably know this, but you might have forgotten for a moment. The city doesn't care about your best interest. They don't look at you as someone they have to be, but we're not children that they're supposed to look out for our best interest. They're government. So all the government on every level, and that's true whether you're a liberal Democrat or a conservative Republican, the government's regard for homeowners and taxpayers is we're ATM machines. They're supposed to send the money. They don't care with how you go about getting the money. You just better pay your taxes. And so the only thing they're good at is getting money from every source they can. So they don't see themselves, they don't see one of their roles to have our back. And as crude as it is, it's like, hey, did you pay your taxes, Carrie? Then get back to it.
If I don't pay my taxes, they take my house.
You know that, but that's what I'm saying is that they're not altruistic. But the bureaucrats especially who've been in there in the city hall the whole time, no matter who was on city council, they don't care about protecting clusters of homeowners. And that's true no matter what part of town you're from. See, partly what happened here is as the city grew and developed over 100 years, the neighborhoods that Stop Six and Poly and Southeast Fort Worth, there was no indications back then that there was any mineral value, oil specifically. So whether those households got 100% of their mineral rights or half was a non-issue. I mean, all this, the ability to frack and acidize and all that, so modern, whether it's bad for the pollution or not, that they let the poorest folks and the people of color have the land in the parts of the county or the town that they didn't think was ever going to be, you know, any windfall to. Because I'll tell you that when you go west of I-35 and you go all the way to the county line, most of those households, this is very interesting, they had half of their mineral rights.
Oh, wow.
You know who holds the other half?
Who?
The Amon G. Carter Foundation.
Oh,
now, that sounds terrible in some ways it is, but when you look at all that construction at TCU and you look at Cook's Children's Hospital and you look at the art that's been by Amon Carter Museum and, you know, the Sid Richardson Museum, et cetera, you'll find that their endowments exploded by the billions. All of that money came from the Barnett Shale natural gas field. And all that money came from those predominantly white, better neighborhoods where those households got half of their mineral rights and Amon Carter got to keep the other half, the Amon Carter Foundation. And the reason why is because when Amon Carter bought up a lot of that land before it got divvied up into neighborhoods, they already knew that there was a potential for oil there. That goes into Parker County and all that. And so it's like a miracle that the neighborhoods that the white establishment ignored ended up having gas under it too. So that's part of the picture.
Two thoughts come to mind. Is this criminal, what they did?
No, it's capitalism.
It is. It's criminal. Because see, I'm gonna tell you why it's criminal. Okay, It's kind of like I feel about getting saved, you know, that come to Jesus moment. When you feel convicted that what you do is wrong, that means that's the point in which God says you know what you're doing, and so you will burn in hell if you continue. Well, let's just say the same thing happened with Chesapeake. At the point in which it was proven that 1,300 people were right and that you owed them, was it 1,300 or 13,000? I forgot my question.
Thirteen thousand.
Okay. So at the point you knew that 13,000 people were right about you and that you had cheated their households out of money, and the fact that the city also accused you of the same thing, and you found out, okay, well, no, you didn't find out. You admitted that you did them wrong too. So at that particular point, it's a breach of contract with us, because at the point in which you knew that you had not done right by all parties, that's a breach of contract. Therefore, it's criminal because it's theft at that point. Everything that was stolen from us is theft. So every dime that we did not get according to the contract as it was written that covered these 13,000 people and also covered the city says that what he did at that point, at the point in court in which it was determined that you had cheated people of their unpaid royalties, then that became a crime, in my opinion.
But they settled. They settled.
They what?
They settled.
No. They settled. That's right. They did. But, okay, it's kind of like if you got a pot.
I understand.
Okay. Let's just say if you got a pot. Once the pie has been cooked, all the ingredients were together. They're not separate anymore.
Yeah.
So if you just had the flour, you just had the butter, you had the eggs, you don't have a cake or a pie. But once you put them all together and they blend together, then you have a pie. So those 13,000 people are part of a pie because we're all in this city. And so at the point in which they breached the contract of those 13,000 people, they also breached the contract of the rest of us.
Yeah.
It's criminal at that point.
I understand your analogy, and on a moral and ethical level, you're totally correct. But here's what's happened. This is another version of speaking truth to power. And what's happening here is that you didn't get to participate to let a court be the referee because you weren't properly represented. And so, in other words, they literally chilled you out of the deal. That's part of your anger with the city of Fort Worth is they got theirs, and the 13,000 households, you can't knock them because they participated. But the oil and gas companies are counting on the vast majority of the households because there's several hundred thousand households, not right? There's probably 250,000 households in Fort Worth, and commercial property owners that had mineral rights and all that. And so my point is that they, the establishment, understands the game and participated in it to the full extent that they knew how to.
You're speaking in past tense. I'm speaking in present tense. They got 667 wells still open and active. The leases are still live. So as long as those leases are still live and we're bound to them because these 667 wells are still active, that means we have the right to steal too.
Yeah.
And I say there should be two lawsuits, a lawsuit against the city for not protecting us, and then there should be another lawsuit against Chesapeake and TNP Barnett. I think
is the only way something like this happened. I wish we had an attorney that knew exactly how this kind of civil litigation worked anyway. I think there's, what you're saying is that there's a whole bunch of parties that didn't participate that are still due past money and ongoing revenue streams because the wells are still active. And what they need is their own lawsuit or fresh representation. Even if all the other neighbors and neighborhoods that didn't participate yet were part of a new class action suit, so that everyone got their proportional share. And I think that it sucks that the city doesn't at least alert their own population, but
I
tell you, it's a
it's self-interest. I mean,
and I think Terry, she's not only advocating on her behalf, but I think she's advocating on behalf of, like you say, all who might be in the dark, or even if you're not in the dark, who might be questioning and wondering, like she stated, that the money just stopped here. So even outside the lawsuit, where's the money that's supposed to have been coming on a, what, monthly, annual, what, however it's supposed to be coming, where is that money? You know,
well,
where is that money? So my thing is, outside of a lawsuit, because we know lawsuits, people, they fight them, it takes time, blah, blah, blah. But what about just the everyday stuff? What's going on with the everyday stuff? I mean, because if it's 600 plus wells, that means those wells are intertwined with communities. They're not just sitting off in, they're not sitting off to themselves. 600, we got 400 on the west, 400, they just sitting off. They basically, we're surrounded by them in our various communities. We are surrounded by them. And I think even Arlington, I think Arlington even, they were having issues in Denton, I think, with the fracking. And I think even Arlington, some time back, shut it down completely. They said, no, y'all can't, y'all causing, it's too many issues starting to happen over here. You know what I'm saying? So I even think Arlington City Council, you know, they said, no, we can't go on like this.
Well,
they
still have wells all over the place. They just don't have the fracking happening nearby, and they don't have the disposal wells nearby. And Arlington got a little more stringent at keeping the wells away from, like, daycares, schools, hospitals. But the wells are still everywhere, and they're still producing.
Yeah, but I'm just saying my point was that what they did, their city council or elected, they didn't look the other way. It wasn't even, at the end of the day, y'all money, whatever y'all giving us, that's, no, we, like you said, we trying to protect the interest of our family. We trying to protect our community, you know, at the end of the day. They raised the stink about something. I think even then they raised the stink about something. But our city council just, hey, we going to, hey, y'all messed up, y'all owe us. Okay, dude, y'all paid, y'all, okay, continue on like you were normally doing, like you normally were doing. Thank you for paying us. Mm-hmm. Continue on like we're normally doing. We won't bring this matter up. And
I think there should be lawsuits. This is what I believe. I think there should be a lawsuit against the city of Fort Worth for not informing the people, but yet making them participate, whether they were willing or not. And then I think the second lawsuit should be the fact that these sign-on bonuses were disproportionately devved out. If you were in the lower income areas of the city, you got less. If you, you know, over in the affluent areas like Tanglewood and the other areas, they got more. I'm sorry, that's not fair. It's just not fair. And then the fact that the royalty checks did not come like they should have. So in my opinion, Chesapeake did wrong, not just on the royalties, but on the sign-on bonuses. You see? And so, again, the city didn't do anything. Basically, they turned their head and pretended that they did not see this big giant of a company raping their citizens. That's my opinion. And I really believe that. And I hope there's an attorney who is willing to stand up and fight for the people, because that's exactly what happened.
And I'm telling you that the reason why it happened and the reason why the city isn't motivated to help individual households or neighborhoods is because they're in on it. The humans involved, this is why you have $1 million. That's why the woman who won the mayor's race raised $2 million because they insist on keeping candidates in those seats that will look the other way, Carrie.
Well, let me ask this question. How many of the council people do you believe got cheated out of their royalty that were sitting on the council at that time? How many of them do you think got cheated out of their royalties? No way.
Or now? At that time or now?
At that time. When they found out in 2013, the ones that were sitting on the council then.
I bet you that they're part of those 13,000 households, or even those 400 households that were part of the class action suit.
That part.
They had insider information.
That part. But yet they were representing us and never told us. I remember they
That's because the lawyers and the staff convinced them that they weren't allowed to speak about it outside of executive session.
Wow.
So they just did insiders. The Betsy Prices of the world just did their own insider deals. And they might. And the thing is anybody that had a stock share interest in Chesapeake or any of their subcontractors, they wanted this settlement to be as small as possible and to be extended as far out as possible. They wanted it to be as quiet as possible. They don't want to have to pay back any money they don't have to. So if they can keep, they don't want to have their hand caught in the cookie jar.
Well, tell me, how is it possible that nobody that I know knew about this lawsuit in 2016, including myself? No, everybody nobody knew.
Because it's executive session. It's confidential. They can't discuss it until it's settled or it goes to court. Because this is the game. This is why they hide behind open record requests. You got to guess what to ask for.
Wow.
That's why.
So,
because
but I hear you say that, but it made the news. How come nobody knew about it? If you Google it, it's online. Everything I've told you is online.
Yeah, but it is in the public domain, the light doesn't, I mean, Carrie, the light didn't come on with you until this most recent article. Even though it may have been in the public domain, for most people, homeowners, small houses or big, you know, houses, it didn't occur to them that what the connection was.
It was with Austin this week that I some kind of way asked a question about it or something, and he had knowledge that one of the law firms had been sending out cards to people. I never got one, but I don't know if they were trying to include everybody in the class action lawsuit. It's just, I don't believe that only 13,000 people said, okay, you know, I'll join the lawsuit. I don't know how they determined who they were going to include in the class action lawsuit, but I don't believe it was just 13,000 people that responded.
And Carrie, I think even with the lawsuit that nobody shouldn't even have to come around, because if that law firm was doing its due diligence, it could have pulled those, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if it's public domain or whatever. They should be able to pull who signed up with, who signed on to those households who signed on to them agreements. Because sometimes, you know, you ever get a lawsuit in the mail, a class action lawsuit, they say, hey, we want to sue this company.
Yeah.
You want to be a part of this lawsuit, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? I'm like, who? I'm like, what happened? You know, because but something you don't bought or something that your name is, you don't signed up for. They want you to. Most of them things, I just disregard because I already know I'm not fit to see nothing. I'm not fit to see nothing. The lawyer's about to get a big chunk of that. So I'm like, no, hey, if whatever, you know. That company. Go ahead.
I was gonna say so. So there are guidelines in the state level, which are really stringent, and there are federal guidelines. And the law firms that specialize in these kind of class action suits, they only have to meet the federal minimum in order to enter court. There's usually a lead plaintiff, like a particular household. Let's say it's like a drug, you know, a class action suit about a medication. Or in this case, it's natural gas royalties. The federal courts only require some really small number. I think it's like 5 or 7 lead plaintiffs. So the lawsuit will say, Mr. Smith, Mr. Jones, Mr. Adams, Mr. Williams, you know, or Mr. and Mrs. And so it's some small number. I guarantee you it's under 10 that are the primary plaintiffs. Then behind that, they need to be able to show it's probably 400, that they have 400 interested parties or whatever it's called. And so they have to go through the efforts and meet the federal court's minimum expectation of who else they notify. So whatever that number is, they'll do mailers like Adrian's describing. And then as soon as they recruited enough to meet the federal minimum, the law firm's not going to spend another penny finding everybody.
Malik just said the McDonald Law Firm informed the residents of Edgecliff, so they only had to meet a minimum number of people. minimum.
Yeah. And then if you so even if you got a single notice or an email or a card in the post box in like some real cheap postcard, and soon as people go to their website and sign up and you meet the minimum, the law firm's ready to go to court. And they don't the truth is they have an incentive to add more nearby residents. There's no advantage for them. They're going to get 30 or 40% of the total settlement. And so why spend another penny on adding more people to the list? Because
So we had council people who went probably and signed these cards to get themselves involved in a lawsuit, huh?
Of course.
Wow.
And business people and people that are connected on staff and of course.
So do y'all really believe that the council people didn't take care of all of their friends and family members?
No, I think that there are layers of who they inform and everybody else is out in the cold.
Where would the other 10 million go?
That was part of where would that money go? If the lawyers got 5 million, where would the other 10 million go?
It's either in a general fund or some kind of the city. I mean, you know, the city's a $1 billion enterprise, so that of course they want the 10 million. But this is the problem with all those odd men. You know, you'll see that votes at the beginning of the agenda, and it's for just that and the next thing, but it's real vague. That this is the kind of money that they're spending. In other words, whatever departments have wish lists and they all submit ideas that weren't on the original fiscal budget, you know, the fiscal year budget, when they get a windfall of money like this, they either use it to patch a spot that's, you know, short, that has a shortfall, or they spend it on something that wasn't originally planned.
Y'all better start going down to city council. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm not going to read this story, but, you know, I just recently went ahead and signed back up with the Star Telegram. So I do everything online. But so back in 2016, but back in 2015, the Forbes School District also sued Chesapeake Energy. Alleging the company improperly deducted its own expenses from royalties owed to the school district and taxpayers. So the lawsuits, they've been flying. So like you say, the school district did it. I just typed in a search, Chesapeake Energy, and all whatever stories that have to relate to Chesapeake Energy comes up in the Fort Worth Star Telegram archives. So I'm just scrolling through trying to see if it's anything.
So now we're up to the ISD got theirs, the city got theirs, and 13,000 other people got theirs, and the rest of us are just ass out. I don't think so.
Oh, Bessie Price? Forward.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, they did make, they raised a stink about it. Forward Star Telegram, March 24, 2016. And I read the heading under the description under the picture. There's a picture of former Mayor Bessie Price. This is titled Fort Worth, the series about Chesapeake suit. Fort Worth Mayor Bessie Price said the city is dead serious about its lawsuit against Chesapeake Energy. Ross Haley, Star Telegram. So they did make a stink about it. But like you say, how did it just
The bottom line on that is you got to check and see when did Chesapeake announce it was leaving town? Like when was it moving out of Fort Worth? Because it was probably around then. It made it a lot easier. Think about it.
They're not gone. They're not gone. When you got 667 wells, you ain't gone.
Well, you know what I mean. The corporate headquarters moved.
But maybe they're still here, though. It's because I was told by TNP Barnett this week that I was like, you know, I thought you guys were gone. She says, no. I said, so the lease is over with. And she says, no. She said, you need to read the fine print. She said, because if you were paying attention, the fine print says as long as the wells are active. So the city is allowing them to keep these wells open but not pay the people right. That's what's happening.
Chesapeake won't settlement with Fort Worth School District kept quiet, kept secret. March 2nd, 2016.
See? Oh, y'all. Y'all better be in city
council. The school district only settled for $1 million. That's the Fort Worth school district settled with Chesapeake for $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
Well, the lawyers doing bad lawyering, or, again, somebody did somebody a favor. In other words, the city, the Chesapeake, said, we can
right.
$50 million on litigation. Are you ready to spend $50 million for Worth ISD? And the school
right.
board blinked.
Right.
They went into the executive session. The lawyers told them what their options were, and they're like, oh, man, how can we get out of this? And Chesapeake gave them a token $1 million to settle.
I believe that. Somebody got paid
and remember,
under the table.
Well, most of the time, the best lawyers don't work for governments. The best lawyers work for corporations.
I'm going to say this. Y'all need to be doing two things. Tuesday, you need to be at the city council meeting or calling in and telling them how pissed off you are that you didn't get your money. And then, secondly, on Monday, you need to be calling TNP Barnett at 800-220-1100. That's 800-220-1100. And asking them, do you have a check up there? They're going to ask you for your owner number and that type of thing. But, yeah.
Hey, check this one out, y'all. Check this one out. I'm not gonna read the article. Check this one out. This is dated August 24th, 2015. Airbus and others win royalty lawsuit against Chesapeake Energy.
Okay.
So they ain't gonna go up against another billionaire. Billionaires versus billionaire. You know, billionaire corporation versus a billionaire oil tycoon or whatever industry they in. Airbus. Mm-hmm. Others win royalty lawsuit against Chesapeake Energy, August 24th, 2015. This is when that was dated for. I think that the city's lawsuit came out in 2016, so it was like a domino effect. So
the lawyers,
school district was in 2014. I'm sorry, Thomas.
Yeah, what I'm saying is some of the best lawyers noticed the problem early and went to the billionaires and said, hey, we're getting ripped off. Ed Bass and maybe his brothers, but Ed Bass for sure, he owns a crap load of land in the southwest corner of the county. So the land south of Benbrook Lake, before you get to Johnson and Hood County, the Bass brothers own almost all that open land that's left. There's two big ranches that are out there, or one big one with a ranch house, and it's open plain. And so that's a whole lot of surface with wells in that quadrant that are real productive. And so they knew, I mean, the best knew that they were getting ripped off. And so the point is this is a game of, you know, who's got the most bullets. And, you know, the billionaire has the ability to pay the lawyers, and the two lawyers, you know, get into a room, two sets of lawyers, and they negotiate, and they rattle their saber in court a few times. And then they're like, man, let's stop beating each other up. What's it going to take to make this go away? And so, and the opposite happened with Fort Worth ISD. The Fort Worth ISD school board was either afraid or didn't have the cash flow and didn't want to fight and blow a whole bunch of money on legal fees when they weren't going to benefit as much as they hoped to. And I'm going to bet you the school district has like 200 properties, most of which have some kind of school campus. Some of the properties are dormant because that land was donated to Fort Worth ISD a long time ago. And in some instances, some of our elementary and middle schools that are older, you know, built in the 30s, 40s, or 50s, the rich people who donated that land retained the mineral rights. So even though Fort Worth has a lot of land and some football fields and stuff like that, they don't have that much acreage where they control the mineral rights as, say, the city of Fort Worth. Because the city of Fort Worth kept spreading out. You know, the city of Fort Worth has some extraterritorial land in Parker County now and in Denton County. So it's a completely different equation where Fort Worth is real landlocked on what lots they own. So if they buy a lot now to build a new school, I guarantee you're not buying the mineral rights. Not as long as everybody knows there's natural gas under there. So that's the difference. And, you know, I still think that there's a lot of cronyism that makes it, you know, harder to figure out why the city wasn't acting in the best interest of all the households.
And who's in power in different places? And you got to check and see who works at the city that used to work at Chesapeake.
Because
I don't know.
Somebody,
let's say, huh? Yeah, so you check like, you know, you got people in government that have worked for Chesapeake. Like I said, Mark Beasley's wife worked for Chesapeake. Leah King at TRWD worked at Chesapeake. And that goes on and on and on. And so, you know, you got a near billionaire that's also on the TRWD board, and her family's owns big chunks of land in Western Tarrant County and Fort Worth. She owns land all over Camp Bowie and Highway I-30 West, and so all of them have gas interest.
I got another one for y'all. Tarrant County Jewelry Awards $20,000 to homeowners. This is plural. Tarrant County Jewelry Awards $20,000 to homeowners in nuisance suit against Chesapeake. This is dated May 23rd, 2014.
Okay.
Yeah.
And whatever law firm that was fighting here in Fort Worth, look what happened to him. He said, this is dated February, particular law firm. I think he the one who raised the stink. He said, judge orders Fort Worth attorney to stop interfering in Chesapeake case in Oklahoma, February 19, 2015. So whatever was happening here, he was, I guess, tilting the people down in Oklahoma, hey, XYZ, and then a judge, I guess, put a gag order on or told him to stop interfering. So, it's been going on.
Didn't David Cook come here in 2014? What is something like that?
Something like that. I don't know exactly. He's been here longer than most city.
It was something like that. So, I mean, so he, right when he got here, he knew something was off. But he didn't tell the citizens what words. But he told the city, listen, we need to get this money. Mr. Cook, we'd love to talk to you about it, even though we know you probably ain't coming on. But, I just feel like y'all, listen, they should have paid their shareholders a whole bunch of money, you know, because they've had this record quarter. But so what are they going to do, cut us $40 checks and then give the shareholders big old chunks of money? You know, it is what it is. Listen, y'all, if you want to chime in on tonight's topic, you know, call in tonight. I mean, y'all, I'm just so frustrated. I'm not normally this frazzled, but when it affects my bottom line, I get frazzled real quick. The call-in number is 515-605-9321. Then press 1 once connected. That's 515-605-9321. Then press 1 once connected. The problem I have with this is this. When you don't have a choice, it's one thing if somebody says, you know, well, Carrie, you had the option and you said no, and so therefore you don't get anything. But I didn't get. Nobody came to me and said that. I didn't have that type of conversation with anyone. I was just pretty much told either you do this or we're drilling down 100 feet and we're going across your property. And so either you get what we're giving you or you get nothing. That's what I was told. And so with that said, we didn't even know who at the city to talk to about it. The city never did say, well, listen, we have a representative that works for the city. If anybody's got any questions about these leases, contact us. No, nothing.
Well, they're going to say that they can't give you legal advice. They're going to say that it's not their place to give legal advice even to the citizens of their own city. And then the other one that is a classic is that ignorance isn't a defense. So not just in criminal matters, but in civil matters. This is kind of like the old practice in lots of employers that you're not supposed to talk to your coworker about how much you make.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, everything has to be a secret because that's how the money people make the most money. So the less people that are informed. Well, this is like informed voters or informed investors, you know, this is how they take advantage of the average guy or the little guy, is by not having you.
I disagree. If you and I go out to a bar and all of a sudden I get in a fight because of you, then when I get through getting beat up, I'm coming to you and saying, why, what happened? Why did you, you know, Why did you get me all beat up in this fight that I didn't have anything to do with? Well, the same with the city. The city put us into a fight with a Goliath and told us to figure it out the best way you can. This is a big monster of a company that you put us into a fight with, didn't explain to us any of the rules, and said, figure it out the best way you can. And once you get screwed, don't come crying to us. That's what the city did to us.
You should never apologize.
This is the way it's worked. It's not. I'm not saying it's right or fair, but this is the way it's worked forever. I mean, in your analogy about the bar, the way the city sees it is that you are a bartender at the bar, and the city is a bartender that has connections and experience at other bars. You both walk into the bar, and the owner of the bar says, I'm going to hire both of you. And then he pulls each of you aside and says to the city, hey, you're really experienced. I'm willing to pay you $25 an hour plus tips, but don't tell Carrie what our deal is. And then Carrie thinking, oh, you know, if I get $10 an hour plus tips, that's a pretty good amount of, that's best money I can make. And you're blissfully, ignorantly happy until you find out that the city made a much better deal for themselves. And,
you know,
and this
what?
Is what they're trying
I,
to do.
Carrie,
I disagree.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell Carrie, and you should never be apologetic about something that you're passionate about or you feel convicted about, you know what I'm saying, something that, you know, a wrong, you know, somebody wrong, we shouldn't, you don't owe nobody an apology for that. That's, it is what it is. And like I said, and I don't feel like you said, you're speaking up on just, it's not just you crying out for you or speaking out on your behalf, it's for the whole of Fort Worth. This is Let's Talk mm-hmm. Fort Worth, so you speaking out for the whole of Fort Worth. And I think, at this moment, just like it is important. So now, because I'm pretty sure they're still doing business with the city. They're still doing business with the city. We'll settle a lawsuit and we're going to continue on as business as usual. But now that you brought this to the forefront, now there's just more stuff we can just bring up when we go to council. And then it's going to be more stuff that people who might have been sitting in the dark about, like Thomas did so profoundly a week ago, when he read off the agenda item, and he made sure to include those people amongst us who might be, you know, who have, you know, just physical ailments, you know. And I thank him for that, because I didn't think to that aspect at the time. I said, well, we got the hearing, the people who are hearing impaired. We got the blind. We got these people might need you to read this off. And for all I know, they're going to change it back. But then again, they might just continue to thumb their noses up. Oh, well, to hell with them. So now, like we do, those who go in prison, those who make the phone calls, this stuff is being archived. The Star Telegram, mm-hmm. I'm kind of staying away from the Star Telegram, because I just say, they biased. And I said that based off of the last election, how they was having the interviews, but yet they was basically throwing their cards in for the incumbents, without giving the voters a chance to say, hey, look at these interviews. We got these interviews. Check them out, and y'all make a conscious decision. They just automatically say, we think this is the best pick. We think this is the best pick. And then they'll write everybody else off. They'll write us a piece on the person they want as to why. Then other people that was, quote-unquote, in the interview, they'll just basically write them off as vaguely write them off. So I feel this way. Mm-hmm. The Star Telegram, I'm kind of trying to find some kind of alliance with them, because even they are taking notice of things, and they're starting to report on things, and they're starting to kind of like say, hey, city, yeah, we know we got a relationship with y'all, but hey, we got to report the news, you know? So like you did a week ago, and they acknowledge you, and they didn't just acknowledge you, they acknowledged the show. Like, damn, so people are listening. People are paying attention. This is just something else we can bring to their attention. And people are like, oh,
well, you know,
yeah, what about I forgot all about that. But thank you for bringing it up.
You're right. You think that's going to be the reaction? No. I think Mr. Cook's neck goes up like a rooster. I noticed when he's shocked by somebody's comment, his head goes straight up like a rooster and he kind of turns to the side. And so that's the reaction I expect. But I don't expect him to change anything. I don't know if Thomas is going to keep going down there and reading off the agenda items, but I suggest everybody get up and go down there and put this council on notice. Y'all got to do y'all job. Y'all asking for a $50,000 raise and a $70,000 raise. Go fight for our royalty rights. That's what they need to put on the next agenda, that they're going to go after Chesapeake and make them renegotiate these leases. That's what I think should be on there.
Yeah, and one of the reasons, you know, one of the reasons why you're right, Carrie, is because at the very least, they should have told their constituents, hey, this is an opportunity for you. We're in on it, but we don't want you to miss out if you're interested. Because here's why that matters. Besides the money or some checks or money that you hadn't gotten, no matter how much that is, $200 or $2,000 or whatever, no matter how much money it might be to people, Chesapeake, those gas wells will run out of gas someday. And when they run out of gas, all those pads and all those gravel sites and all those wells and all of the equipment, they're not as good as stewards at going back and spending a bunch of money to clean up and reconvert those to a new use. And so part of the compensation that everybody in the city deserves is the environment, is compensating for potential environmental impact and impact, fortunately, to everybody's household, whether it's quality of life, whether it's cleanliness, whether it's impacting children, like with, you know, issues like asthma or anything like that. This is why it makes sense that they need to be better at compensating the entire population for taking literally stuff out from under us, if you think about it. And so that's why a highly responsible public servant would be, you know, should be doing what Carrie's doing and asking, why didn't this word get put out to our, to everyone in my district, you know, and or all of our districts.
Somebody said, and Councilman Frank Moss years ago said to several people, and I don't know how many he told in total, but he said, listen, there's something about to happen in Stop Six. Y'all need to start buying up these properties. That was a warning. He didn't give many specifics, but he's just like, listen, they're about to do something. Y'all better start buying up all these properties. And so some heeded the warning, I guess, and some didn't. But that said, at least he was, he cared enough about them to say, y'all protect yourselves. When did we get that from this particular group of people on the council at the time in which this happened? We didn't.
Yeah. But let me give you an example that's the perfect microcosm of why we're in the situation we're in and why council members aren't always looking out for the best interest of their constituents, but they pretend or they say that they are. Councilman Flores is the council member who has almost all of the Panther Island project in his district, right? And so you'll see him. It is why he sits on the subboard to Trinity River Vision Authority. That's why he's always defensive when I'm critical at city council. And and the truth, he's an engineer. He's a very smart person. And the reason why they have him on that subboard and the reason why they help donate money to keep him in that seat is because the Hispanic people and the poor white and black people that make up a whole bunch of his district, okay, there is a risk to them. Because that island and that dirt is highly polluted and has not been reclaimed the way that TRWD claims that it is. But Councilman Flores is so interested in the economic boon that could come and jobs and stuff like that, that he doesn't want to hear about or admit that there may be exposure issues for the people in his neighborhoods to go onto that island once it's built out, or to swim in that river or go boating or whatever the possible environmental factors are. Everyone's supposed to pretend like they don't exist or it's all been cleaned up because of money. Now, here's where it really gets interesting. The most liberal member of the council is my council member, Elizabeth Beck. She's supposed to care about environmental issues and things like that more than anything. But her district now is right up to the south edge of Panther Island. It goes right behind TCC and the courthouse. It's the entire downtown. So while Elizabeth represents, you know, some of the near south side and Fairmount, which is real liberal, and, you know, all the neighborhoods, a little bit across I-35, but not very much, it is the money and the people who donate to her and the corporate and business people in downtown that she has to keep happy. And what was the first mm-hmm. thing that the city staff did when she got seated and sworn in? They recommended that she be president to preside over the TIF or the PID, whichever thing it is, the public increment district or whatever it's called, that mm-hmm. and the tax, you know, fund. She sits on both of those boards. She's the president of one. Your head mm-hmm. gets real big real fast. And now the sales job started the first week she was in office on how important it was for those tax entities to hand money over to TRWD. So the pollution issues become way down the list of importance relative to the business opportunity for developers. And that's duplicated in every single district in the city. So, and it's the same thing with environmental compliance on the natural gas wells. There's too much money to be made for the city, and the city's going to settle its money, and, you know, it's part of a lawsuit. And they convince the city council members, don't worry about these other things that you think are supposed to be important.
That's all, and that's scary. And I guess, you know what, that's why I say, hey, I'm not the sharpest tool in the box, but hey, when I do get time to, you know, kind of tweak myself and get a little sharp, and hey, that's why I've been saying what I've been saying about these. It just makes no sense. The board sitting on these boards is a direct conflict of interest for the citizens, but not only for the city council, but for the constituents, because like you say, if I put you on a board, you can, of course, when it comes to voting on things, they most of the time, if it's in somebody's district, they ask that person, how do you feel about this? You know, if yeah. I don't want something in my district, all I got to say, hey, they know, hey, this is my district. So my say is going to weigh with the other council. Hey, now, you know what? I got a constituent that's, hey, y'all need to hash this out. I think we need to do a continuance. Nobody going to say, you want to do a continuance, but we've been continuing this. We don't continue this already for 2 weeks, Mr. Smith. What you mean you want to do? This is my addition. Either they're going to go with it or they're not going to go. Hey, let's do a continuous, I say, for 30 days. Ain't nobody fit to go against it. But if I say, hey,
right.
I got one constituent I feel is just like a million. If one person comes down there in opposition to anything, I don't care how minute it might feel to you, one person can speak volumes for a million. You know what? No, it's just one person. Nah. Well, sorry, Mr. Jack, but the corporation is here. You only one person. We're going to go with the corporation and continue on with the next agenda item. So, yeah. Like you stated, this thing we have with the council sitting on these – the thing I have with the council sitting on this board is this conflict of interest. And I know they're getting paid. This thing about them wanting this little whatever, they might not be getting paid, you know, like they want to get paid on these boards, but they're getting something. They're getting something.
But see, you know how I feel about that, though. I really believe, and this is my humble opinion, if either three of us were sitting on this council or sitting on the council now, and this Chesapeake thing had come across the table, I cannot imagine that we wouldn't have gone to the constituents and said, listen, Chesapeake's going to come in here, and they're going to offer you all leases. Make sure you read them very well. Even if you don't inform them, you know, totally, make sure you get somebody to help you understand what they need so that you can negotiate a very good deal for you and your household. I believe we would have done that. I think each one of us would have done that. Am I wrong?
What if the lawyers, to get this settlement and to sign this agreement with Chesapeake, we all have to sign the agreement as members of the city council, as legal agents of the city. We are agreeing not to discuss or disclose the details of the agreement or the terms of the settlement. And the lawyers literally within weeks when you first get in there, Carrie, I don't like it or agree with it either, but they immediately start convincing you need to, on every issue, the police and CCPD, but especially on closed executive session meetings, you cannot disclose what was agreed to, what was discussed, and what the final settlement was if that's what the paperwork says. And those are the kinds of things you cannot get when you do open records requests because the public is not supposed to know about it. And these corporations, especially. My point is that they may have walked in there in good faith and within a couple of months realized that they could be sued individually or censured or worse. This whole city could be sued if any council member divulges something that they've been told not to divulge.
When Chesapeake first came in here, they should have told their constituents, listen, Chesapeake Oil is coming in here. There may be an opportunity for you all to sign some leases. Make sure when they bring it to you that you read it very well or get somebody that you trust who's familiar with leases to read it for you. Yeah. I don't know how that could have breached any contract we got
And not only that, Carrie, look, check this out. You got to realize this, too. The council members, your council members talk to your constituents, so you talk to yourself. So I'm in this district, so I want the best for this district. So whatever happens to you all is going to happen to me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's going to happen. It's going to benefit. I'm not just out here as a council member and I'm sitting as a city council member in your district 5, but I stay in Arlington. No, I'm on this council because I stay in this district. So basically, I live and my life thrives in this district. So, hey, y'all, look at this. We got a new. They coming to the city. Hey, I'm saying that's your representative. I'm not voting on anything. We need to get y'all on one accord in the community. See what direction y'all want to go in. Because at the end of the day, even with the closed door meetings or whatever, even if I disagree to it, my vote gonna show. You know what I'm saying? I might get outvoted, but I'm always going to record and let the people know. Well, you know what? I probably can't say certain things per law, you know, per the agreement, but I can let my constituents know, hey, let you all know, I didn't have no dog in this fight. I was in disagreement with everything, but again, this is my vote. I vote no. Everybody else can vote yay, but I want my constituents to see, hey, I'm fighting for you. I'm not just up here for me myself. Well, I'm up here for you.
You can say it when you're about to vote, especially if you're in the minority or the opposition. But the right time to speak up, Carrie and Adrian, is when the issue first arises, before you even start negotiating with Chesapeake, to have the mayor or the council member speak up and say, guess what that does for everybody? It scares the crap out of Chesapeake, and they're going to settle with everyone faster. If somebody showed the leadership and was outspoken at the front end, then Chesapeake would be scrambling to make right with the city and with the citizens, because they're worried that the citizenry has now become informed. They're going to move faster to do at least better by people, instead of being quiet all the way along in the process like little mouse. That's when you're disserving your constituents. And so that's my point. Yeah.
If it was up to me, and ain't nobody that normally protests, I say a protest is what's required. Yeah. Right out in front of their building, whether that be City Hall or Chesapeake or TMP offices here in Fort Worth, whatever. That part.
Yeah.
So I think people are not realizing that something like this needs attention. And I'm not somebody, seriously, because it's hot out there. I'm not somebody who really enjoys protesting. But there does come a time when you got to get up off your butt and make people realize that you know that you've been done wrong. So if Chesapeake, you can't get them on the phone, because I tried today and I couldn't get anybody on the phone. They closed at 12 o'clock. You know, basically everything went to voicemail. So in my opinion, I say lawsuit potentially for the city and for Chesapeake, because if the city does not step up and get these either these wells closed up so we can get out of these contracts or make Chesapeake renegotiate these leases, then I say sue the city and sue Chesapeake. Period. That's the only way it's going to, that's the only language that, in my opinion, is going to fix it. Because
in addition to a protest or these kinds of contacts, This is the perfect example of something that people could call in or show up and speak during the public comment on this specific
topic. Wow. Yes.
Yep. Because, you know, they expect people to show up for the hot button items like police accountability or, you know, individual issues. But if people start saying, you know, what the hell, you didn't have our back, you know, all these households were left out in the cold, you settled something for the city as a whole, but you didn't even inform us, you know, that. I think a lot of this is stuff like some of these upper level managers that have been with the city for 20 plus years, you know, they don't care about households or constituents. They care about moving up the chain, you know, up the food chain. And a whole bunch of them may not live in the city. They don't even care about it because, like the cops, they don't live in Fort Worth. And so there's that factor. And then the last one is, how many of them's spouse is working at Chesapeake or some entity just like that? And so that's why the council doesn't get informed. They don't see the pros and cons. You know, they get tunnel vision because most of their messaging is 90% from city staff or the police department, not from the public. That's one of those things that's so aggravating about city council in general and the public hearing, you know, the public comment period. You act like we're wearing you out. You sit for hours during the week with staff parading all kinds of nonsense in front of you during work sessions.
Oh, it's always you.
But they walk out on you. When you're talking, like Elizabeth Beck, I'll call her out. Y'all listen, pay attention to the council. Councilwoman Elizabeth Beck, she's down on the end next to Chris Nettles. Basically, she's out. She's got her phone out. I don't know if she's shopping, but you can clearly see her scrolling through her phone. You know, every now and then she'd open up something and look at it and then keep scrolling. I mean, while people are talking, or her and Councilman Nettles are just talking the whole time. You know, giggling at, you know, speakers, and they just don't get it. So Tuesday night, 6 p.m., in my opinion, y'all need to go down there or call in. They only expect to be there 15 minutes. I say give them a good 2 hours.
They haven't got hit yet with a public session with just people just showing up, just keeping them there. They only used to Thomas, myself, Bob, I forgot the other gentleman's name.
But remember, we did have that one meeting where the two opposing groups on the Airbnbs
organized.
They'll be back. The point is that it's totally random what large numbers of people are going to show up when the Tatiana Jefferson thing heats up, when the trial's in the middle or at the end, if the outcome isn't just or there's unrest. All of those are going to they're going to see some two-hour-plus public comment sessions. I think they're going to
– Hey, but Thomas – I was gonna tell Tom, even with the short term rental thing, I was telling Carrie, I kind of know which way that vote gonna go. I think we kind of be sitting here trying to make bets on who gonna vote which way. I think Crane, he gonna recuse himself. He gonna find a way to not. They gonna leave these votes up. The people who having these issues in their district. I think it was Crane district who having this issue. I think it was the Arlington Heights residents. Crane gonna find a way to he gonna let the other council members kind of probably have this one. He gonna kind of find a way to not make a vote because either way he can be on either side. You know what I'm saying? He can be on either side. I think he plays both sides. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? So, but hey,
I said he's Mr. Real Estate Man. Yeah, we're gonna take a phone call. We're going to take a phone call, 817-378. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
817-378. Yes, ma'am. I've just been listening. You know, I mean, you know, I'll just go back to Moncrief and Maurice Beeson. mean, the people took it. They took the money. It is what it is. It's up to the citizens if they want to fight.
Speak up a little bit. You said it all goes back to what?
I said Mark Beefy, one who brought that mess off in there. His wife, I think she got a secretary job, some job with Chesapeake when that first popped up. Moncrief was involved. 7th Street Gang, they all tied to this stuff. Everybody took a piece of the pie and left, you know, the average citizen out. You know, you got to look at the leasing contracts, renewal, you know, like the city, you got to look and see when the city renewed their contracts with the oil and gas and didn't notify the public, because them contracts probably last ever been about maybe 5 years at a time. Then they don't give you an opportunity to negotiate for more money in those contracts. We just got a whole bunch of corruption in this city, and we just got to accept that our elected officials don't have the better interests of the people. You know, they play with the common folks, but, you know, the Ed Basses, the Moncriefs, you know, the Richardson family, you know, so that 7th Street Gang, they don't dare touch them. But for us, you know, they put the shaft in on us. So, you know, if we don't like what they're doing, it's just time to get rid of what's going on. But, you know, that's just the act of the politician. Ain't so much the city official, but that lies more on Mark Beasley and Moncrief than it does anybody. Mainly Mark. He got a big hand in that Chesapeake contract.
Oh, we may need to call his office then. I mean, I'm just saying.
He can't sit there and lie and say that he didn't know nothing about it. I don't think you got to do it. Everybody know that Mark came. He came all into the black community, beating the drum.
Did he?
When it came to signing these leases.
His wife was His wife was one of the marketing people, and her specialty was to go to communities of color.
And
Tanya Beasley's job was to do it in the neighborhoods that were in Mark Beasley's congressional district.
Absolutely.
And Leah King's job was to go to communities that were outside, that were in Kay Granger's part.
Absolutely.
That's why Leah King went to Como. That's why she went to the West Side, you know, corridor that is Cherry Lane, Las Vegas Trail stuff. And then the other pockets, they thought that those two women were going to be believable. Chesapeake paid them very good money. Yes, they did. And I'm going to tell you how connected this is. When Leah King ran for her board seat at TRWD, now remember this is after she paid her dues by being a good, you know, servant to the establishment, she got huge donations from Kay Granger to run for the water board. And in two cycles, Brian Epstein, one of the sleaziest political people ever, who's run Kay Granger's campaign since she ran for city council, and the whole time she ran for city council mayor and for Congress, in one or two of the cycles, when Mark Beasley was a congressman, Tanya Beasley worked for Brian Epstein, helping Kay Granger get reelected. That means specifically, I don't even know who the Democratic nominee was, but literally the Democratic congressman's wife was helping the Republican to beat the Democrat in Western Carolina.
I mean, if you look at Mark Beasley's contributors to him, a lot of them are Republicans. He played the same raggedy game that Obama did with that bipartisan stuff. Mark Beasley get a lot of money from Republicans.
Mark, he's just
a two-faced snake. I mean, take a lot of money from the Stonewall Democrats. That's who control it.
Yeah. 90%
Stonewall Democrats control Mark Beasley. The LGBTQ Stonewall Democrats is the one who run him because they give him the most money. That's a fact.
Yeah, of a group. Yeah, literally the donor list for Kay Granger and Mark Beasley, 90% overlap.
Correct.
Wow.
And what's amazing is if you look at his small donors, like individual donors, inside his own congressional district that goes over into Dallas County, he has the least amount of donors and the least amount of money of any congressman in the country.
Correct.
So individual people, there's thousands of small businesses that don't send a dollar to Mark Beasley because Mark Beasley fundraises across to the west side of the county. I mean, it's incredible when you realize it. And I mean, that
he'll show his face. He'll show his face out here next month doing a
promo.
Yeah,
he's up for reelection, isn't he?
I think when he get reelected, about a year or so ago.
Well, every two years, the Congress is reelected.
Yeah.
But he's on the ballot, but he doesn't have a serious Republican candidate because he's Republican light. So here's how it works. All the white Republican establishment knows that Mark Beasley will vote Democrat and liberal on some of the social issues.
Correct.
As long as he votes pro-corporate and pro-oil and gas, they understand he has to vote for labor, you know, for the unions. But otherwise, the banks and Lockheed and Bell Helicopter and all of his big communities expect him to vote like a Republican on all the business stuff. Mm. And so,
but see, when he take that money from them, he got to do what they say. That's them real gangsters.
That's
one
right.
Line up somewhere in the bottom of Pembroke Lake, he crossed in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
He knows what his limits are. And,
yeah, absolutely.
And they,
absolutely.
Yeah. Believe me.
Wow.
I'm a Democrat, and I've been frustrated for a long time with nobody calling that.
I'm gonna tell you like this. I'm an athlete, and I don't fancy to sorry put a bad taste in my mouth. I'm done with their party. I mean, they've taken the black vote for granted, and they have lied and manipulated everything, and I just can't be on that side no more. I'm sorry. I'm flushing. So,
Malik, what do you think we should do?
On that, I mean, if we got you got them dead to the right, you got every right to file. With this, only thing you got to do is pull the case. It's public information. You get the whatever the city files, you go file for the community and homeowners. It's that simple. That's the only thing they do. That's how it works. When you go to the law library, you find a case that's something similar. Then that's just simple. And you pull that case. They got to give it to us.
Mm-hmm.
They got to, you know, we get to see they got to give it to us because that's public information. Because you use public dollars to get your settlement, and we ain't got a dime.
Right.
And so the only thing we got to go down there and tell them to fork it over.
Y'all sitting here trying to figure out how you going to pay
but
for
I know McDonald's for law firm did send up one of those placards to my house, like the bro said, letting you know about that Chesapeake thing that they was ripping folks
yeah.
up. That was around that time. That was before my mom died, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
I seen the Star Telegram archive. They just said that was a McDonald law firm, I guess, and he was.
Yeah. I told Kerry it was a McDonald law firm.
He thought enough about the people in Oklahoma to say, hey, XYZ, this was going on, but the judge caught wind of it and tried to, I guess, silence them, told them, no, don't be interfering. But, man, Chesapeake caught wind of it, and they gave the judge, now, hey, this guy from Fort Worth is getting involved in this case. And so there's some good people out here. There's still some good people out here, but, man.
Y'all, listen, you know what, and it is, and I'm going to tell you something. Y'all, it don't take a whole bunch of folks to file a lawsuit. And to be honest with you, I'm not going to wait on $13,000. It's FYI.
I find
an attorney, whatever the magic number is, we gone.
Yeah, I think you find I think you find the attorney and you just bring them two or three people and let the attorney hustle up the rest of the interested parties.
Yeah.
That's what their specialty is.
I'm not knocking on one door. Because you know what the thing is, a lot of times people want you to beg them and come on, y'all, let's go meet over here. Can we do this?
So,
no, you know somebody owes you money, you go to collect, and you don't wait.
Thomas, so I guess you're saying, Thomas, class action lawsuits is like a dragnet. All you got to do is take a couple, the lawyers, they're gonna throw the bait, they gonna throw the fishing line out and see who's gonna grab onto it. It's class action.
They're going to identify exactly who falls under the category of wrong party, and word of mouth and some light. I mean, they'll be able to pull together the interested parties. I think there's some kind of like a time frame or a deadline where the law firm that's going to represent the group has to meet the minimum, but they also can cap it. So, you know, in other words, if you don't jump on the bandwagon within 3 months or 6 months or whatever the federal rules are, then you don't get to be part of the party. But so the thing about that is you don't have to worry about finding 12 households or something like that. You just got to go find the attorney, and the attorney has to size up whether he thinks there's enough of people that are wrong still. And the truth is if everybody else qualifies, isn't part of the original settlement, and you're not getting a penny off of this settlement, you might have your own suit, especially if there's another angle of attack in court. So
I'm gonna say this, y'all, real quick, from real personal experience. No, go ahead, Kerry, go ahead, because I can get my thought out. Go ahead, Kerry.
I want to say this real quick. Y'all, it's one thing when you're filing a lawsuit from scratch, and you're going before the court and you don't have a clue as to whether or not you have something, a lawsuit that will stand up in court. But we're talking about the blueprint has already been written and proven. So it's not like we're talking about, you know, we're talking about a party that, you know, has not been proven to have done wrong. They've been proven that some wrongdoing went on.
Okay.
And so in that, it's all about the fact that all we want them to do is do right by those of us that didn't get done right by. That's it. Because it's already been proven that some wrongdoing went on. And so that's all I'm saying for those people. Well, I don't know. You know, you go to court and they – no. It's already been proven.
You ain't going to court to argue now. The lawyer's going to take care of it. All you need to do is boom, put your name, sign your name, this is what we're going to go for, and let the lawyers take care of it. Personal experience. I was able to be a part of a lawsuit. It was dealing with, I think it was American. I don't know. One of them I applied, must have been American. I applied for a job, didn't think nothing of it. Some time had passed, I didn't think nothing of it. You know how people don't call you back, Anyway, got something down in the mail, some time talking about, hey, it's a lawsuit, stating discrimination. I guess because I applied for a job, they had to show the records of all who applied for the job at that time. Discrimination, I just signed on to it, didn't think nothing of it. Some time passed, I think it was about a year or so ago, I thought about that lawsuit. I said, dang, you know, I ain't heard nothing about this. So I was able to track down somebody. She said, oh, we sent the check, and I said, I said, I'm just trying to see what the follow-up was on this, blah, blah, blah. She said, okay. She said, okay, we're sending the check out, boom, boom, boom. They had already settled, woo, woo, woo. Man, I'm like, hey, for just putting an application, this amount of money, hey, well, thank you. So it does work. It had some piece of money just for filling out an application. So they do work, you know.
But the point on this is, y'all, and I'm not sure the city shouldn't be sued too. I'm being very honest. I'm not sure Fort Worth does not hold some responsibility in this, because we got no warning whatsoever, first thing. Second thing, we didn't have an option. So it wasn't like you could opt out. You couldn't. If you opted out, they were still going to drill on your property. You just weren't going to get anything for it. So we sign up in good faith, believing that the other party was not going to breach their contract, but they breached the contract, but they did. They did not honor the contract with how they said things were going to go down. So in that, they owe us. Now, I'm not going to have to go back and forth in my mind about what I need to do. I mean, I'm just not. Because the thing is, we are still tied to a lease that we cannot get out of. So even if we decided, okay, we're just done. We just want out. We're just going to walk away. We can't even walk away. Because as long as those 667 active wells are still open, we're still tied to the contract. So the only way to make this right is to put some paper. Put your signature on a piece of paper and say, I have decided I no longer want to be a part of this unless y'all are going to pay me what you're owing me. It's that simple, y'all. Listen, y'all, we've come to another, or the end of another show. I'm exhausted by this one. I really am. I mean, for the last 2 days, this has consumed me. It has absolutely consumed me at the fact most people who know me really well know I play about a lot of things, but my money ain't one of them. And the fact that I know now that I was wrong, I had no recourse, I mean, to date, I mean, everything has been this Goliath versus David situation where we the people had no right whatsoever, and we were just basically dragged by this company, and they did what they wanted to do, and the city allowed them to do it. So how do we fix it? How do we fix it? We go to court. We find an attorney, and we go to court, and we say we feel like we've been wrong, and we just want what's due to us. That's what we got to do. Y'all, this is what we do each and every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor to check out the show. Also, we ask that if you have a product, a service, a company, a nonprofit, a campaign that you would like to advertise, reach out to us at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. We would love to talk to you about advertising with us here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Also, if you'd like to sponsor the show, we're trying to do new things this year. We're trying to get on YouTube and do some other platforms to expand on what we've already started. And so we feel like what we do every week is informing the city about what's going on downtown, what's going on around the city, things that we know you need to know. Just like this, everybody that I talked to before I did this show, I wanted to know, was I the only person that didn't know that Chesapeake had been sued? Well, I found out nobody else that I knew knew. So those are the kind of shows that we try to bring you here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. We try to keep you informed about not only what's going on downtown, but what's going on around the city. A disclaimer, y'all. The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Let's Talk Fort Worth, the host, or any future advertisers. Listen, y'all, we will be back next Friday, same time, same bat channel. Good night.